Session number 8203, reel 3.
Raymond Cowan, reel number 3.
All these studies were concerned with embarkation. I was just standing around waiting to go, and so was making sketches as fast as I could. That and another drawing that's over there. It was great fun seeing all the light and movement that was going on. These are jeeps driving through into the up the ramp and into the landing craft, like into the maw of some huge fish. There are the jeeps. Up on the top, they've driven the upper ramp inside, and they're strongly lit by the jeeps. And then we arrived at Antwerp and drove, and I drove and drove on the motorbike through the night, following the convoys. And eventually arrived in Holland. We stayed at one town which hadn't been yet very badly damaged. And I was billeted with some very kind Dutch people. We had the one night on the way and then drove on to Breskens. Now, Breskens had been very badly bombed, was in a dreadful state, and that's where we established our divisional headquarters. And a number of... at that stage, I worked largely sketches and photographs, and it was, in a sense, I suppose, perhaps more like First World War in terms of widespread
destruction of the landscape.
Yes, that's right. Now, we were then preparing the operation, a pincer movement on Walcheren. The purpose of our operation, our job as a division, was to liberate the island of Walcheren. And Breskens is the port on the mainland opposite Flushing, Vlissingen, the Dutch port of Vlissingen, across the Scheldt estuary. And so one part, together with the navy, was established at Breskens, which a number of the drawings and photographs show. And another side was to go around a long way around by land to the other side of the water and across a road which had become a causeway, just a single road across a flooded landscape. And this is what was known as the causeway. I think it was about 2 miles long. And one part, I think one regiment, or might have been more, attacked across that in a pincer movement, aiming on Middelburg, the town of the main town of Walcheren, while the other side came across the Scheldt, and this came together, and well, the Germans were immediately overwhelmed there. So the rest of my drawings in the sketchbook were concerned with that. This is a signals van, and a contact was established. This was in Breskens. And contact was established between us and our intelligence officer in particular, and the Dutch underground in Middelburg.
exciting.
And so this was the beginning. I was standing outside watching what was happening with Tom Galloway. And there's Tom. No, sorry. Here they're getting across. There's Tom Galloway, our intelligence officer, talking with them. And we got a lot of useful information there. And that helped enormously. It was very tricky because we were so anxious not to hurt civilians, obviously, over there. And we wanted to find out as much as possible as we could, as could be done. But anyway, it all went pretty well. And little bird fell. And these drawings captured German soldiers. And here, this is the causeway. A railway line along the top of the embankment. Blown up railway line. And German soldiers filing back to the mainland from Middleburg. There's a more detailed study of the twisted railway line. That one, that was the causeway.
Mm.
That's the blown up telegraph pole and the twisted thing. And all flooded on either side. Mm. Mines everywhere. One had to be frightfully careful about
that
mines.
Kind of blasted tree.
Yes, all the way.
Stumpy branches.
Yes. You see that carrier there? That's a blown-up carrier tossed over to the
What's
side.
What's the star?
I'm not quite sure. I ought to
was
know.
Was it one of your ours or theirs?
It was one of ours, yes. I think it was a 21 Army Group sign. I'm sorry, I wish I could answer that properly. Anyway, it was one of our 52nd Division ones, although that was not, I have an idea, it was more American. Anyway, we were of course, part of the 21 Army Group, which was commanded by Eisenhower, after all. He was the overall commander. Look, marshland. Now all beautiful green fields are restored. But and there's the blown-up railway line again. I was concentrating on that a little bit. And while I was doing that, a soldier came up, looking over my shoulder. He said, that was my carrier. And I went on drawing very hard. But I never saw him again. He wasn't there. It's strange, then. I couldn't. I looked everywhere. I didn't go far because of the mines. These are all mines down here. Mines, look. Yeah, mines. Shoe mines. And you saw that in a sort of camouflage backdrop that I did for Snow Camouflage. That's based on that drawing. That's what you'll see later on in another program when we talk about camouflage. That's all
of that.
Now, going on, that was that one. And these, oh yes, I'm sorry. These are just more of Breskens at that time. See the naval units, destroyers, I think, and barges blown up.
So what time? I mean, these are quite detailed drawings.
Yes.
They must have taken quite a long time.
Well, we did. We had a lot of time, you see. I wasn't very much engaged in the operational thing. At the stage, there wasn't very much I could do, in actual fact, except do my turn as duty officer and so on and so on. But there was time to go and look and draw, and they were very glad for me to do that. So,
look at this sort of ruined town.
Oh, yes,
really.
Yes, it did.
And it was very, very badly.
Yes.
What about the civilians? What
had
happened to them?
Well, they'd all, such as survivors, moved out.
Mm.
Well, I don't remember seeing any civilians, Yes, that's all one of those. Now, that, yes, that comes later. After the Vulcan operation, it was discovered that here was a camouflage officer who got over without, belonging to 52nd Division, and how come he wasn't part of 21 Army Group camouflage pool? So I was immediately taken away from the 52nd Division and put into the camouflage pool of 21 Army Group in Brussels. And I lost my contact with being part of with the soldiers. I was so sad about that, but it had to be. But and then it became interesting because one was posted out to various jobs. And I was working with very interesting people. And getting more and more experience in different ways. And this drawing concerns the crossing, the Rhine crossing, when we eventually managed to get across the Rhine, and it was the war was well, very well on then, and there was a tremendous build up for that. Over, and we were assigned, camouflage officers were assigned to. I think I had a large number of regiments to deal with, artillery regiments, or anyway, several regiments I had to deal with, to do with the build-up of ammunition in preparation for the opening barrage for the Rhine crossing. And it was a three-week preparation in which nothing was to be given away, nothing was to be seen. The ammunition too was to be piled, stacked, in preparation, in situ, from a point near enough to where it would be fired off. But the guns would only come in at the last moment, overnight. The barrage would open at dawn. But the sighting placing of the ammunition had to be kept secret. The build-up had to be kept secret. It wasn't to be seen that here was where it was all going to happen. And some of this had to be done in open fields. So everything was concerned with using existing tracks, adding nothing which could be interpreted by the German air intelligence as to the site of a coming operation, otherwise they'd be too ready. And therefore we were monitored all the time by our own air reconnaissance and air reconnaissance experts in that field.
And they took photographs.
Oh, yes. It was watched through as we went and interpreted to see whether anything could be seen. So it was a tremendous challenge to make sure that everyone understood and one got everyone's cooperation. Actually, some of these people were colonels and brigadiers and majors and what, and I was just a captain. But it had to be got over, it had to be explained, and their cooperation obtained.
I think it's very fascinating what you said earlier about every mark can be read.
Yes, indeed.
And usually we don't think about that as being actually marks in a landscape.
No, we think
of marks in a picture.
That's right, yes. But it was all there for interpretation.
Quite remarkable
what they were able to do. Our own air reconnaissance people and people who worked in this field of photo interpretation were extremely skilled in reading the least. So it was an awful challenge to try. One could only try. at all, to keep the thing quiet as possible. There would obviously be activity. But then there was bound to be activity, some activity going on. But the idea of build-up had to be avoided. And everyone was vague. So sometimes ammunition had to be sighted in open fields. Now, the only marks, perhaps, on open fields were existing tracks where things had been going on, and shell holes. And the shell holes were lighter in colour, and they were not unlike the colour of the actual shells themselves. And so we managed to work things in to the existing pattern as far as one possibly could. It was the best we could do, and on the whole, I think it went reasonably well. And then the day came, and I'd been working on this, so I wanted to see the outcome. So I stayed. It happened to be with a regiment of medium howitzers. And I was working, I was standing by this one, watching them. There was nothing I could be doing at the time. I was just watching what happened. Watching them firing that gun, and suddenly planes swooped down and attacked the next gun of that battery. And it was totally knocked out, a very sad sight. And I went over, and there was nothing I could do. The dead soldiers, the gunners were lying around, hayricks on fire, everything strewn about the place. There was no one to be saved, they were all killed. And so I did a very quick drawing, and that's it. That was a photograph I took at the time, but I don't think it really says quite as much as the drawing.